Good morning. Let me tell you, if you're just joining us, where we are. I'm in the middle of a series, and the series is called Why? And I'm just asking questions that I think many times, not only have I asked, but I hear people asking. And we've gotten this impression over the years that somehow you're not supposed to ask questions in church, that you're not supposed to ask questions of God, especially not why. For whatever reason, it seems to be the dirtiest of all questions to ask. Don't ask God why. And we have these really dumb answers that we give people, you know, for why not to ask why. And so I just want to say again, as long as you take your questions to God, then I encourage you to ask Him why. I encourage you to go and go seeking answers, because I promise that as you go, God will minister to you and you will find what you need. Sometimes it's not what we expect. We go thinking we've got to have a particular thing, and God just knows. But I want to encourage you to ask why. So today, the question is, why does church just not work for some people? That's such a good question. It's so good, I'm going to ask it again. Because you're like, did he just ask that? I did. I just asked it. So let me ask it again. Why is it that church doesn't work for some people? Why doesn't it work? And this thing has been on my heart. There are times where a question like this will just come to my mind, and it burdens me. There's this thing that presses me to seek God to find answers for it. And you know, we're coming out of the summer season, and summers are busy, right? There's vacations and there's all kind of things, and I've watched the progress that so many of us have made, and I get excited, but I know that there's always that little thing about summer where if you're not careful, a lot of the things that were going on in people's lives that are good, somehow the termites can come during the summer and just eat away the wood. You ever experienced that? Ever seen that happen? And I'm like, God, I don't want that to happen. I want the gains that people have made in their life, I want them to continue. But for some reason, it just seems that people will try church for a little bit, and then it just seems to them that it's not working. And so they give up, and they go away. And maybe they only go away for a season, and they come back, and they find what they're looking for. But I tell you, the ones that always concern me are the ones that go away and they never come back. It's like the sheep that gets lost and never gets found. I'm like, God, what is that? Why doesn't it work for some? And so I believe today I will be able to answer that question for you. In fact, you may be one of those. And I'm praying that this message gets to you in time. That's why I believe that it's God's appointed time for you to be here, because He wants me to tell you this before it's too late. And then for everybody that is part of Ember, I have a word for us today in that same regard. So we're in Mark chapter 2, and I want to read a few verses. Is that okay? I know that we don't have people read to us very often anymore, but I think it's important to establish this story. So it's in Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to just read about 11 verses. So, it says, when he had come back, speaking of Jesus, when he had come back to Capernaum, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak that way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet and go home. And he got up And immediately he picked up his pallet and he went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed. And they were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So, I want us to consider two groups today. I see at least two that I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the crowd, and I want to talk about the five friends. So you've got a paralytic, someone who is paralyzed. They cannot move nor probably sense the feeling that is in their legs. And so there's five of them. You got the man that is lame and his four friends. We're going to talk about them as a group, and we're going to talk about the crowd. So first, let's talk about the crowd. It's a good thing to gather a crowd, right? Nothing wrong with gathering a crowd. It's good. In fact, I have people all the time. The only thing they want to know about Ember is the crowd. You know? It's the only way we know how to measure if God is doing anything. Is it drawing a crowd? There's a crowd here today. That's a good thing, right? And so, apparently they heard this buzz about Jesus. And they heard that he was healing people. Just a chapter over in the first chapter of Mark, Jesus is healing. So apparently word got out. And they've decided that they're going to come and they're going to hear. Maybe they're just curious about what happens. But as I was reading that story, and that's why I wanted to read all the way to the end, I see no evidence that anybody in the crowd got healed. I see no evidence of it. Now the crowd is gathered and Jesus is present. But I don't see any evidence in this story, and it's found in Mark chapter 2, it's found in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 9, and it's found in Luke, I'll tell you where. It's found in Luke chapter 5. But no evidence that anybody was personally changed. That's the danger of the crowd, you guys. The danger of the crowd is that you can gather and you can be curious. You can gather and you can listen and you can see and you can even leave excited. And yet there be no recorded evidence that God moved in any way in your own personal life. Does that speak to anybody today about the danger of just being in the crowd? And so there they were. I don't know why they came. Maybe some of them wanted healing. It says that a crowd gathers, so let's compare what happens to this crowd who listens and who watches and who gathers to these five friends. So these five friends, they get together, and I don't know who initiated this. I don't know if it was the paralyzed man, got himself four of his buddies, and said, "Look, there's a healer in town, and somehow I got to get there. Will you guys carry me to Jesus?" Or was it the four friends that said, "Hey, you know our buddy who's paralyzed? This Jesus is in town. Let's get him and let's take him." So however it is, this group gets initiated and they're on their way to Jesus. And just like good Americans, they show up late to church. Do you see that? They showed up late to church. And in this case, it got them in trouble because the crowd had already gathered. And they couldn't get to where they were going. Now here's the distinction between the crowd and the friends. The crowd was confident to just sit where they are, I guess. But that wasn't enough for those friends. It wasn't enough for that group. They get to where Jesus is. Now, I want to try to lay out how this might have looked. So if you have read stories to your kids lately, Bible storybooks and all, it's always a one-room house. And the ceiling is open and they're lowering Jesus down through ropes. That's always the way the Bible stories tell it. Well, if you check with the Bible scholars, it may have been that way. It may not have been that way. He may have been in an upper room of this house. Often, Jesus would go to these upper rooms. There's a good benefit to that. They didn't have sound systems back then. You ever thought about that? And so, if he's going to speak to a large crowd, he wants his voice to carry. And so, he could get into an upper room and stand by a door or a window, and he could shout out over the crowd. I don't know what the house looked like. But here's the difference in that group of five. They get there and they're not deterred. That's the difference. Nothing seems like it will deter these people. I don't know how far they had to walk. I know that many of us have got stopped for a lot less than that, right? Can you just picture that? Four men are carrying a guy. They didn't throw him in the back of a pickup truck, y'all. Okay? They didn't call the ambulance to bring him. All right? They're carrying him. All right? How many of you even walk to church? No, it's too far, right? If you lived across the street, it's too far, right? And so, but here they are. They're carrying this man, so they're not deterred. They're willing to carry him however far it is to get to Jesus. They don't know if he's going to be there when they get there because he can move, right? It wasn't unlike him to be in a place and then just get up and leave. For many people, it would have been easy enough for the crowd. It probably would have been, I'm not going because if I get over there, Jesus will probably be gone like he was the last time and I'm just not even going to bother. I'm just going to stay here. But they press on and they carry this man to this place. And then there's a crowd and they go, oh man, you know what? There's a bunch of people there. There's probably not going to have time for me. And so we'll just sit here in the crowd like the rest of them. No, they would not be deterred. How do you get a paralyzed man up on a roof? Very carefully, right? Otherwise, you've got a dead man. All right? It's like he was paralyzed. Now we broke his neck. Great. Yeah? How do you get a paralyzed man on the roof on a cot? I don't know. Was there a ladder? Was there a set of steps? I don't know. You know what the point is? We don't need to know. They were undeterred. They didn't care. They said, you know what? We'll get up on the roof. Maybe they had to go through somebody else's house. They were often built close together and climb across the roof. Maybe they had to put a ladder up. Maybe they had steps and they climbed up. It doesn't matter. That's not what I'm trying to tell you today, is it? What I'm trying to tell you is they would not be deterred. And now they get up there and they're digging a hole in the roof. I love that. I'm like, I wonder where the homeowner is. You know, I've always wondered where the homeowner is. Oh, it's cool. Go on. We'll fix it later. You know, what does Jesus do? Does Jesus look and go, I don't think that's appropriate. It's like he says nothing. You know, they dig a hole or they pull back a door or whatever it is. And they lower this man down to Jesus. If there's a part that you need to understand at this point, it is that these people would not be deterred. And there is only one miracle that is recorded on this day, and it is to the one who would not be deterred. Have I made that point sufficiently clear? Yeah. Okay. So it is not sufficient to be in the crowd. And then I want to speak to Ember for just a moment. So if you're a part of this church family, I want to speak some words over to you. The world has changed, Ember. It's not like it used to be. It used to be that people would get up on Sunday mornings and they thought about going to a church. But we live in a society that has become so far from God, it's sick, it's paralyzed. They don't get up in the mornings and think about where they're going to church. Do you realize that? I think sometimes we get so spiritual, we forget about what the world's going through. The world's sick. It sees no need to come to church. People are not getting up in the mornings going, man, I really feel guilty. Now, of course, there are some, okay? I'm just speaking of a general rule here that there are people, they are not getting up thinking about, oh, I better find a place to go to church. They're not looking for a place to go to church, folks, okay? Maybe y'all could go out and tell somebody else this week, too, that's a Christian, just to let everybody know. The world's not looking. They're paralyzed. They're lame. They're sick. Something is keeping them from Jesus. And so all that stuff of how we used to glitz and glamour things up and all, that was kind of cool when somebody was looking for church. But you know what? The world doesn't care if we string lights behind the wall here, or we put a cross on the wall, or we sing two songs or four songs. They don't care because they're so sick and they have been in the crowd for too long and the crowd did nothing for them. Many of them came and sat in the crowd and they sat week after week and nothing happened. And they left, and they see no good reason to come back. And it is because We thought we had to just get them in the room. But what we really needed to do was get them to Jesus. Oh, that was a good point. Did you hear that? I don't want you to miss that one. Okay? Because we'll miss everything that Ember's supposed to be about. Okay? Ember is not about getting people in the room. Ember is about getting people to Jesus. And it's about getting them healed. And it's about getting their sins forgiven. And it's about getting them into a relationship with Almighty God. And so the stuff that used to work doesn't work anymore. And so I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you somewhere not in your head, because if I just challenge you there, you will go out and you'll miss it. Now, some of you are saying, I'm not really in this group that you're talking about. I'll be back to you. Just hold on. Ember, it is not sufficient to put a sign up on a building and think that people are just going to flock to church now. That's not the world we live in, okay? Have you noticed that it just says Ember? It doesn't say church. I've had a lot of people say, but it doesn't say that it's a church. I'm like, I know. That's not the sign's responsibility. That's our responsibility. You hear that? That's why church is not on the building. Because it's not the sign's responsibility to tell the people that this is the church and this is where you find Jesus. It is our responsibility to do that. You tell them, members of church. You tell them that His presence is here. Oh, and by the way, step number two that we've got to get, and it's happening already today, and I'm stinking excited about it, is we got to carry them to church, y'all. It is not sufficient anymore to see somebody at work and say, hey, I'd love to see you down at Ember one day, you know, when you don't have anything better to do, and the grass is not high, and the fish are not biting, and the ball games are not on. And no, that's not good enough anymore, folks. We got to go get them, and we got to bring them to church. You say, Kevin, what are you saying? I'm saying you got to go get them and bring them to church. That's what I'm saying. Some of y'all already done that. In fact, I spent the whole week thinking about how all of you got here. I really did. I looked back over the list of people and I said, how did they get here? Very few people just showed up. Do you realize that? Very few people just showed up. We don't buy billboards and we don't buy advertisements and all of that, because it's not the billboard's responsibility to get them to Jesus. Whose responsibility is it? I'm not opposed to billboards. I think they're great. We just aren't doing them right now. Because I want you to know it's not the billboard's responsibility or the sign or the building. It's us. So we're going to have to carry them to church, because you see, they're crippled spiritually. They're lame spiritually. They do not believe that they can get here to Jesus. They've been in the crowd. They never met Him. And so you got to get Him past the crowd and get them to Jesus. So what do I want you to do? I want you to start bringing them to church with you. I mean, literally, go pick them up and bring them. I was going to do that today. And this person is clearly not in the crowd. He is clearly part of that group of five. I text this person and said, hey, do you need a ride to church? And he said, nope, I'm already there. And it was about 9:15. All right? But we got to be prepared to go get them and bring them. Go pick them up. Go wait for them in the parking lot. And come in with them. And sit beside them. And stay with them. And don't just invite them into the crowd, because I've got no confidence in the crowd that anything will happen. It is only when we move them past that and we move them into the presence of Jesus. And then we move them even in worship. Praise team, I love that you took the time to move us into worship. You see, the crowd doesn't understand what just happened this morning. The crowd stands up there and goes, okay, that's a lot of music. You know, that's what the people would have said. Jesus, that was a long teaching you did there. And then they'll just go away. And what they missed is that the praise team was taking us to Jesus. Every time we sing here, we're not just singing. Singing's kind of silly if you think about it. There's no other place in culture that we really get together. And we get together and what do? Let's just everybody sing. Yeah. It's like, what is this, Broadway? See, some of you don't even think like lost people anymore. You've been saved for so long, you know. What is singing all about? We don't just sing because we've got nothing better to do. We sing about a Savior. And we believe that when we sing, we're worshiping. And it's ushering us right into the presence of God. And that's why some people move out of the crowd in worship. And they move right into the presence of God. And other people just sit there and they go, I don't get it. I don't get it. I can't sing. I can't either. It's not about singing. It's about the presence of God, and it is the praise team. It's their calling that they usher us into His presence. They carry us just like those four friends. They lead us. They carry us into worship. That's my job, is to carry you into His presence. How do I do that? One, I got to take you to the cross, because you can't get to Jesus any other way. Do you realize that? It is through the cross that Jesus forgave sins and allows us to enter into a relationship with Him. But I can't keep you at the cross. I have to move you through the cross. I don't know if you know that or not. Some of us have gotten stuck at the cross. That's where forgiveness of sin is. That's where relationship begins. But then I got to move you to an empty tomb. And I got to let you look inside and see that there is not a dead Savior, but a risen Savior. And that resurrection life lives inside of you. And then I got to take you into the heavens and let you see that there He is, Jesus, not dead, but alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, pouring out His Spirit on all mankind, so that you can say, where is He? How is it that Christ can pursue all of us at one time today? Oh, you see, Jesus told us why. He said, it's good that I go away. You know why He said it's good that I go away? Because if Jesus was in Galilee, He couldn't be in Jerusalem. And if He was in Jerusalem, He couldn't be over here in Capernaum or wherever it might be. He can only be in one place at one time. But if I have taken you through the cross, by the empty tomb, into heaven, you will see that the Holy Spirit has been poured out and He is available for every heart. And then you ask, where is Jesus? He's like, He's inside. And He's constantly pursuing you. The songs that they sang, He is pursuing you from in there. But you cannot be so easily deterred. And too many of us have been too easily deterred. So I'm going to get back to that group. So, what have I done so far? I established that the crowd is not good enough. I spoke for a little bit to the folks at Ember. And I gave them a good kick in the pants. But the good news is, that's been happening already. You know? I look at this whole row right here. I'm so glad y'all all here today. Because that's literally what has happened. Literally. One person asked one person who asked one person who asked one person. And that's why this entire row is here today. I look out, some of you here for the first time because somebody brought you today. Somebody cared enough to bring you. I hate to belabor the point, but can I just say it one more time? But bringing you into the crowd is not good enough. You have to be brought all the way to the foot of Jesus. And you cannot be deterred. And so what is it then that keeps us from Jesus? Let me ask you, if you've been kept from His presence, not from church, but kept from His presence, what is it? What is that thing? Whatever is keeping you from Jesus is making you lame. Did you know that? Whatever it is that is keeping you from Jesus is making you lame today. And it doesn't always have to be evil. It can be just life can keep us from Jesus, right? Just a busy job, a busy family, the demands of life, a season of life that you're in. There are countless things that can keep us from Jesus. And I will tell you that whatever that is, name it. Literally, name it. It's making you lame. And you have to look at that and say, I will not let that hinder a relationship with Jesus Christ anymore. I will not let it keep me from Jesus. And so today, I believe, is building up to this moment, because I cannot let you stay in the crowd if you are just in the crowd. I can't do it. I got to bring you to Jesus. And I got to ask some folks around here to carry you if you need it. Let me read you something that is found just in the book of Luke. I told you the story was found in three places, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, in Luke, I ran across this in studying this week, and it just blew me away. And it is the introduction to the time of decision this morning. And so, praise team, if you guys will come, I want you to come back. I want you to, through music, I want you to carry us into His presence. And we're going to have a time to where if you've been stuck in the crowd, that you can get out and you can come to Jesus. If there is something that has been making you lame, then we can overcome it today. Let me say this real quick, because I think you need to know it. When I speak of the word church, we need to make sure we're all on the same page of what that is, okay? So when I say church, I find great value in it. But when I say church, I do not mean an institution. Do you hear me? I am not speaking of an institution when I talk about church. I'm not talking about a place with a sign or a steeple. I am talking about a group of people that the Bible calls the body of Christ. And so in that respect, do I see the value in the church? Oh, you bet I do. Not as an institution, not as a place that has a sign or a steeple, but as the very body of Christ. So why would I separate you from the body of Christ? Why would I separate a head, which Christ says He is the head, from the body? Unless you want to kill something, you wouldn't separate a head from a body. And neither would I. And so I would tell you, why do we need the church? Because the church is the body of Christ. You need both. You must have both in order to be healthy and well and whole. And so in this, back to Luke chapter 5 that I told you I was going to, it's in verse 17. It says, one day He was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, and who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And then in my Bible, it has a semicolon right there. And then this next thing, and the power of the Lord was present for Him to perform miracles. Woo! That is both happy and sad all at the same time. Because the presence of the Lord was there for power. The power of God was present. Now, because y'all are such good students and good listeners, tell me again, how many people got saved or healed that day? Man. You hear that? The power of God was present that day. Power of God was present to heal, to save, to forgive sins. And how many people got healed, saved that day? Only the one that pressed in and would not be deterred. I want to tell you today, I said, guy, please don't ask me to tell them that the power of God is here today to forgive sins and heal if that's not going to happen. He said, Kevin, the power of God is now present to heal and forgive sins anywhere, at any time, because my Spirit has been poured out. He said, but there is a key, and bring them back to the key. In all three portions of Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it makes this distinction about when Jesus healed. He said, because of their faith. That. Not because of the four men's faith or because of the one man's faith, but because of group faith. Now, group think is bad. We don't want group think. But group faith is good. And group faith says, God, we believe You are who You say that You are. And so let me stand up here today and let me tell you very confidently, the power of God is present in the room to forgive sins, to heal the sick, to help you today however you need to be helped so that you do not walk out of here lame. I said, Lord, what if a lame person walks in? It'd be hard for me to say. He was just speaking theoretically. Jesus said, there were times where he had to move people out of a particular room in order where faith might abound. If there's something really big in your life, we may just move you over to the next room with some people to pray for you, all right? altar, let me say again, the power of God is present for whatever is making us lame today. And I want to invite you to allow God to forgive you of those things and to usher you into His presence. You might need the altar down here. You may need to go get one of those friends that brought you here today. Friends, Ember, hear me. You may need to move to a friend and ask them. You know them well enough to know if something's hindering their life or not. And you've already got permission. That's the beauty of this thing if you think about it long enough. But don't leave here today. The power was present, but nobody believed enough to take Him up on it. Let's stand up. I've taken you as far as I can take you. Come to Jesus. It is our job to go get them and to bring them, not to the crowd, but to bring them to Jesus. Do we know what our assignment is? All right. God bless you. We're going to hang around and continue to minister. Don't be deterred. God bless you. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.